Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
But what about this? The Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, the SEAI, has said the country has significant gaps to close in order to meet legally binding climate action plan and EU targets. One recommendation they have to stem the popularity of gas-guzzling SUV-type cars to be replaced, they say, by smaller, more energy-efficient vehicles. So is it time to ban SUVs or at least make them very difficult to buy? For example, cities like Paris, they've tried to cut back on these cars by tripling parking charges for SUVs. Well, the brain from Trinity on all matters transportation that I mentioned is Brian Caulfield, Professor in Transportation at the Department of Civil Engineering in Trinity College Dublin. Professor Caulfield, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much for having me on.
What do you make of this?
It's not surprising. It's not only SEAI that are saying this. International organizations are saying the same. The EPA said something very similar a couple of weeks ago. From a climate perspective, they're correct. The largest SUVs produce about 20% more emissions than a regular petrol car. So if we want to reduce our emissions, this is one of the things that they should look at. One of the things they did neglect to say, I think, in their report today was how they increased the sales of electric vehicles that are down 25% so far this year.
Does the same not follow then for other larger vehicles like vans and so on? And what if somebody needs an SUV type car for work?
I suppose they're classified differently when you look at, say, the tax bans and the sales. They haven't mentioned anything about those vehicles, like the light goods vehicles, I suppose, because there's an awful lot less of them compared to these SUVs. So if you look at our sales between, say, 2013 and 2023, the sales of SUVs in Ireland has jumped about nearly 350%. And then in the specific category of the bigger SUVs, it's gone up by 125%. And that's where the emissions are.
Mm. Is it tricky, though, to focus specifically on SUVs, Brian? Because some can look big, but it might have tiny engines, or even the newer ones might claim to have more efficient engines.
Yeah, some of them are more efficient. I suppose what you really want to focus in on, and that's what the French have done and the Norwegians have done, is the weight of the vehicle. And that's the thing that's causing the issue. But like, if you step back away from the emissions of it, SUVs, in terms of road safety, there's lots of research that's been done on that to show that, you know, if you're in an SUV, yeah, you're 25% safer. But if you're involved in an accident, those that are in the other car are 20% more likely to be injured because of your SUV. Mm. Also, the bonnet height of these vehicles have a big impact upon pedestrians and cyclists, and then also kids as they run around our streets.
Yeah, listeners are saying, though, Edward, who's a small car owner, says don't get rid of SUVs, just tax them very heavily, which is one approach, I suppose. Paul in Connemara says, I need my SUV to navigate Connemara roads. Is that a fair? Some of the roads aren't great. And if you're in rural Ireland and you're navigating maybe boggy, winding roads, maybe you need that kind of a vehicle.
Well, it depends on Connemara. If he's in the type of roads that are over there, if it is, you know, kind of, if it is a rural road, then yeah, perhaps, maybe. But these SUVs are being sold in our cities. And the thing is that it's the size of the vehicle that's increasing. Mm. Our roads aren't increasing in line with that. And
so,
also that
so
SUV...
is it a fair argument then if you are in a rural area with bad roads?
Not really, because if the person without the SUV that comes across you, and if there's an accident... then the person that's not in your car has a much higher risk of a catastrophic thing happening to them.
That's from a safety point of view. We're talking about climate here, climate action.
Yeah, from a climate perspective, of these SUVs, it doesn't matter where they're driving. Climate doesn't appreciate rural roads or people in cities. The CO2 that goes out into the atmosphere is the CO2.
Yeah.
So from a climate perspective, there's a legitimate cause to do it. As I said, it's 20% higher for an SUV. So for every 5 SUVs we sell, we get rid of the benefit of one electric car.
You said it depends on the weight of the vehicle. Joe texts the program to say, is there no such thing as an EV SUV? And if they make electric SUVs, he says, then what's the problem?
They do make electric SUVs. I suppose the problem there comes away from the climate issue. in some ways. First of all, the electric SUVs require bigger batteries, and then that has, a more negative aspect in terms of the carbon that's embedded in the vehicle. But then, as I said, away from climate, there's the issues around safety for cyclists and pedestrians.
Okay,
and other road
the safety you win hands down, but you could bring other behaviour, driver behaviour, using the phone, breaking rules, breaking speed limits into that argument as well. But if we restrict it to simply an environmental ambit, because the SEAI is talking about achieving climate targets, right? So if we say that EV SUVs are better for the environment than, let's say, a 20-year-old petrol engine, right? Surely then, is the discouragement of against SUVs not wrong, plain and simple, in the facts?
So it really depends, and I hate giving that answer. It, as I said, it's the embedded carbon in constructing the vehicle, whether it's a petrol or a diesel SUV. That's thing.
Still Trump's,
also, these cars cause congestion, and it doesn't matter, you know, how it's been fueled. More cars cause more congestion, and these bigger vehicles in our cities and in our towns are causing issues around parking. And as I said, safety is the huge one, as we know it over. It trumps everything else.
Okay, look, they have had and they have in the report far more recommendations than just this SUV recommendation, right? But I wonder, are we sweating the small stuff here, Brian, when we see arguments about lifting the passenger cap at Dublin Airport? I mean, do you have an opinion on that?
Well, I suppose the passenger cap at the airport, taking a step back from it all, that is around, it's not really a climate thing. It's to do with the traffic to and from the airport.
It should
be the main reason
thing.
That perhaps it should be. Perhaps we should have our international aviation emissions as part of our domestic carbon budgets, which we currently don't. But from what's currently there, it is a transport issue. And perhaps, you know, maybe the transport land issue wouldn't be there if we expedited projects like Metrolink to get more passengers to and from the airport, or, as others have called for, kind of diverting some of the flights away from Dublin to other cities.
Okay, well, do you agree or disagree with the Brain from Trinity, the professor in transportation at the Department of Civil Engineering, Brian Caulfield? Thank you very much indeed. Some of your texts already on this. Anne-Marie says, the government needs to support more EV registrations, better charging infrastructures, plenty of EV SUVs, but people are afraid to get into an EV because of scaremongering about EVs. All negative press, more confidence required to convert to EVs, so says Anne-Marie. And Brian in Clondalkin says, urban traffic studies have shown that powered two-wheeled vehicles are the ideal form of urban commuter transport, drastically reducing urban congestion, says Brian. However, we seem to have a prejudice against them in Ireland. They don't get a mention, never mind promotion. So says Brian. You can text us to 51551.